Good evening. This is Rod Hanson, WJR News. Headlining the news at this hour, a second night of rioting erupts in Jackson, Mississippi. Six Americans are killed in the latest ground fighting in Vietnam. U Thant visions the Vietnam conflict as a phase leading to World War III. And Michigan may soon enjoy or not enjoy 7 3-day weekend. The 11 o'clock news is brought to you by WJR. Now for the stories behind the headlines. Two persons have been injured in a second night of rioting in Jackson, Mississippi. Bert Cass of station WJTV has the details.
Shortly before 9 o'clock tonight, Mississippi National Guardsmen moved onto the Jackson State College campus in considerable force to stop the onslaught of rioting students. It was the second night of violence, and it erupted as screaming, chatting Negro students moved down Lynch Street from the campus toward downtown Jackson. Police revved up their motorcycles and leveled shotguns with instructions to halt the mob. When the students reached the police barricade, they kicked them down and began throwing bottles. One bottle hit Highway Patrolman Lamar Weems, cutting the back of his neck. Weems raised his shotgun and fired over the heads of the crowd. The surging throng of some 100 students retreated, only to regroup a block away. They made repeated assaults on the barricades. On the fourth assault, police opened fire on the mob, wounding a Negro in the back. After he was wounded, some of his companions yelled to officers, "He needs help." The police shouted, "You get back, he's got all the help he needs." National Guardsmen moved in and caught the mob from the rear, and officers carried off the injured Negro. At last report from the campus, a Jackson police officer said Benjamin Brown was barely breathing when he was put into an ambulance. Adjutant General Walter Johnson of the Mississippi Guard asked Jackson Mayor Alan C. Thompson to declare a 10 o'clock curfew, which he did. At last report, guardsmen were getting ready to fire tear gas and clear the Lynch Street area, which cuts through the middle of the college campus after 10 o'clock. Bert Case reporting for WJR Detroit in Jackson, Mississippi.
Communist forces have attacked the American air base at Bien Hoa in South Vietnam with rockets and mortar and rifle fire. Six Americans were killed in the attack and 29 were wounded. B-52s struck at Pleiku City 2 days in a row in an attempt to wipe out a North Vietnamese base camp, and they hit a suspected communist storage and training area 325 miles north of Saigon. UN Secretary General U Thant today made what could well be his strongest warning to date against present U.S. policy in Vietnam. Thant said that if the present trend of the war continues, it's inevitable that there will be a direct confrontation between the United States and Red China. Thant said he was afraid we are entering the initial phase of World War III. The United States was quick, however, to dispute Thant's contentions, as reported by Richard C. Huttlett at the United Nations.
The United States replied this evening to U Thant, replied in rather soft terms, flatly disputing his assessment of the current situation in Vietnam. U Thant's reasoning is based on his view that a psychological climate is being built up, as he says it was before World War I and World War II, and that when conditions are ripe, some plausible excuse could trigger World War III, just as it brought on global war in 1914 and 1939. For him, it is a simple process of escalation all the way up. The United States sees the same things in an entirely different light, certainly as far as World War II is concerned. The official thesis there is that the failure of the Western countries to meet aggression by Japan, fascist Italy, and Nazi Germany in the 1930s encouraged the aggressor to go too far and then pulled the world into war. If U Thant doesn't see it that way, American quarters say privately, there seems to be no way to persuade him. Richard C. Huttle, CBS News, United Nations.
With the switch of U.S. pacification efforts in South Vietnam from civil to military hands, the belief in Saigon is that U.S. troop strength will have to be vastly increased. The switch to military control of the other war brought strong protests today from Governor Romney.
It would be a tragic error to ask them to take over the other war as some have proposed. And taking on the responsibility for the other war was tied down hundreds of thousands of American troops for many years. It would undermine the initiative and capacity of the South Vietnamese to help themselves. It would transform South Vietnam into an American military colony, which America neither wants nor needs. We have already Americanized the shooting war. We should not Americanize the other war. Now, I don't know whether this appointment of General Westmoreland will do those things or not. Let me make that perfectly clear. But on the other hand, this action holds the possibility that it may do these things.
Governor Romney, the U.S. destroyer Walker was scraped today for the second time in as many days by a Soviet craft in the Sea of Japan. The United States termed the maneuver deliberate harassment and demanded that Moscow stop the action immediately. Moscow, in turn, accused the U.S. of piratical action. The Senate approved a bill today to extend presidential draft authority for 4 years. The measure also enables the president to institute a series of draft reforms by executive order. A federal grand jury indicted 7 Nevada gamblers today. They were accused of skimming casino money to avoid full tax payment to the federal government. The Michigan House spent a busy day today passing a pair of bills that could have far-reaching effects on the state. I'll have details in just a moment.
Mine is 20949.
Mine is 02446.
Mine is 60635.
What's yours? Your zip code, that is. You should know it, because your zip code is now the most important part of your mailing address. Here's why. The post office now faces an avalanche of 200 million new pieces of mail every day. To handle this enormous job efficiently, they have devised the modern zip code system. Zip code enables our postal workers to sort mail far more swiftly and deliver it by more direct routes. So use zip on every mailing address and add your own zip number to your return address so that others can easily zip their mail to you. When you don't know a zip number, call your post office or look it up in their national zip directory. The sooner we all use zip code, the sooner we'll all enjoy better, more efficient mail service.
The Michigan House of Representatives has passed a bill which would give the state 7 3-day weekends a year. The bill would accomplish this by having every national holiday except Christmas and New Year's fall on a Monday. WJR's Lansing correspondent Tom Green talked with the sponsor of the bill, Representative Roy Spencer, about the possible increase in traffic on these extra 3-day holidays.
Mr. Spencer, before you introduce this bill, did you consult with any safety experts as to the number of people, increased number of people that may be on the highways as a result of these extended weekends?
No, I didn't consult with the Traffic Safety Division of the Michigan State Police. It's understood that there's more people on the highways on a 3-day weekend than there is on a 2-day weekend or on a 1-day holiday. However, I don't believe that this is a valid argument. If we accepted this type of an argument, we would be for some type of legislation that would prohibit all holidays. I don't believe this is the answer to traffic safety. The only answer to traffic safety is better vehicles, better control of drivers, and better driver education throughout the state.
The bill now goes to the Senate for consideration. The House also approved a controversial bill that would take away a driver's operating license if he is picked up for a traffic violation. The violator would be given a court driving permit, which would allow him to drive until his court date. If he did not make an appearance, he could be sent to jail. Representative William Hampton of Birmingham has accused the State Board of Canvassers of overstepping their authority in delaying action on petitions calling for daylight savings time. Hampton also took action to move the board into action by introducing a resolution in the House. Hampton explained the resolution for WJR News.
I have today introduced a resolution that requests the State Board of Canvassers to perform its statutory duties and to certify petitions asking for a referendum on the daylight savings time issue. I think that this matter needs clarifying immediately. In my opinion, the board has overstepped its authority in postponing this decision. Petitions were circulated in accordance with the Michigan Election Code, and the people of Michigan should expect their wishes to be considered according to the law of this state. This is no longer just a matter of who is for and who is against daylight savings time. This is now a matter of the Board of Canvassers living up to its statutory duties.
Representative William Hampton. President Johnson and 10 governors, including Michigan's George Romney, marked the installation of the 100 millionth telephone somewhere in the country by chatting over a conference line. The governors and Johnson used $600 gold-plated telephones for the occasion, and Governor Rhodes of Ohio was able to get in a couple of puns at the expense of the president and Governor Romney.
Governor Romney, are you there in Michigan?
Yes, sir, Mr. President. We're delighted to have the privilege of participating in this event and expressing our appreciation to you and also to the telephone industry. I think one of the things that we ought to emphasize is the fact that we not only have 100 million telephones in this country, but we have the best telephone service in the world. And I think it's about the only country in the world where we can get a telephone when we want one. And usually we can get through to the person we want to talk to when we want to get through to them.
Thank you, Governor Jim Roach. Are you there in Ohio?
Hi, Mr. President.
Good to hear you, Jim.
Why, I'm glad you and George had direct dialogue.
Well, we we have that frequently.
Good. Make the gold telephone make common ground out of it.
That's the news. I'll check stocks and weather following this message.
This is Lowell Thomas speaking. I've come in contact with people in nearly every land. And as you undoubtedly know, there are some 84, 85 million people in Eastern Europe behind the Iron Curtain. And these people all look to us for encouragement the day when they may regain their freedom. Perhaps the best way for us to encourage them and to give them some help now is through Radio Free Europe. And my travels have brought me in contact with the magnificent work done by Radio Free Europe. It deserves our enthusiastic support. And if you would like to make a contribution to Radio Free Europe, here is the address. Radio Free Europe, Box 1967, Mount Vernon, New York.
The New York stock market edged upward today in fairly active trading. The Dow Jones 30 Industrial Average closed up 2.11 at 896.21. Standard & Poor's Industrial Stock Index was up 0.44 at 100.87. Sales totaled 10,330,000 shares. The weather for Lower Michigan, cloudy, windy, and cooler tonight with some light rain or drizzle probably ending early tonight. Partly cloudy in the north, mostly cloudy in the south. Continued quite cool Friday and again Friday night. Low tonight, mostly in the 30s. High Friday in the 40s in the north to the lower 50s in the south portions. For Upper Michigan, considerable cloudiness and colder tonight. Partly cloudy, continued quite cool on Friday through Saturday. A low tonight 26 to 34, high Friday in the 40s. For northern Indiana, mostly cloudy and cooler tonight with a low of 38 to 47. Mostly cloudy Friday and cooler with a high in the 50s. Cloudy with little change in temperature on Saturday. For northern Ohio, mostly cloudy, windy, and cooler tonight and again Friday. Rain likely Friday night and Saturday. A low tonight in the 40s, high Friday in the 50s. The weather for Detroit and vicinity, partly cloudy tonight with a chance of frost in the suburbs, a low around 35. Partly sunny, cool on Friday with a high around 53. The present temperature in Detroit is now 41 degrees.
Rob Hansen with a summary of the latest news has been brought to you by WJR. Tune in tomorrow night when the 11 o'clock edition of the news will be brought to you by Charlie's Oldsmobile and Charles Delgleish Cadillac. This is WJR Detroit.